Hello, I'm Jason, and this is number 10 in the 10 podcast series on my journey from 2012 to 2020. And I hope you enjoyed the first 9 videos. I had a good time just recording all of my experiences. Like, I moved from San Diego to Long Beach in 2012. I lived there for about 2.5 years. Then I moved to Hawaii in 2014. And I spent some time in Oahu, visited Maui, visited Big Island, and then I moved to Miami in 2018 for 4 months, and then I moved back to Hawaii, and I visited Maui again, and then I moved to Maui for a year, and then I moved to Kauai. So I also visited Molokai in there. And so this video series has been about my journey, and about how when I left San Diego, I had never lived on the street, but I decided to give it a shot, and it just radically changed my life. I turned into a much more serious environmentalist. I started eating nothing but organic food, and then eventually organic vegetarian food. And this series has explained the ins and outs of what I learned and how you could pull it off if you want. I know, you know, a lot of people become houseless, and it's not their choice. And sometimes it is a choice. You know, I don't know your situation, but I know that there are hundreds of thousands of houseless people in the United States and many, many more across the world. And so I hope this has encouraged you to keep it together and do your best, you know, and stay up, because I know it's not easy. And there's ups and downs, but, you know, it is what you make it. And life is the journey. You know, it's not the destination. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it in for anything in the world. You know, I went through some serious hard times and problems in 2011. And, you know, I wish that those things didn't happen. But they were beyond my control. And so sometimes, you know, when life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade. So this is the wrap-up. I'm going to just explain a few things that maybe I didn't elaborate on in the first 9 videos. I wrote down 10 rules, so to speak, that you might want to consider. I've got maybe 2 or 3 other stories about little random things I recalled about my experiences. And then I'm going to wrap it up. It'll be done. All right? So this is the 10th and final video. And rule number 1, don't be afraid. That's the first thing you realize when you hit the street. All your senses come alive again, you know? If you've been in a house all your life, your senses are dulled. And when you go outside, it's like a wild animal, you know? You breathe, you hear, you think, you feel. It's all brand new again. And only you can figure out how you want to do it and what it means to you. And you can't fake it, that's for sure. It's kind of like fasting, you know. Shit gets real when you're living on the street, because that's pretty final, pretty realistic. You know, that's why I think a lot of bands and comedians and musicians, you know, are amazing with their first album, with their first material. And then they make some bank, you know, and totally change their lives, you know, and then they move into a mansion or whatever, they give up their old friends, they leave their old neighborhood, and then they kind of suck, you know? Have you ever heard the Guns N' Roses album, The Spaghetti Incident? I haven't. But Appetite for Destruction is one of the greatest albums ever, and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 are also fantastic. So make your peace, rule number 2. You could die, so be okay with that. You know, be fearless out there. There's only one way to do it. And that's like you mean it, you know, with your heart. You don't want to be pussyfooting around. There's no time to be afraid. Just be yourself, be real, find yourself. Rule number 3, leave the place like you found it. I like to say there's a fine line between a spy and an environmentalist. And then I usually add, I guess you're not a spy. You know, because think about it. If you treat the place right, if you don't leave a trace, then it's a lot like being a spy, you know, being a real environmentalist. I imagine that you only know pretend environmentalists. You know what it means if you got a nose ring? It means you know a pretend environmentalist. You know, you can't compartmentalize health. You can't be an environmentalist on the weekends. That's bullshit. You know, these people that want to burn gasoline, burn coal, eat food that's not organic, and use all kinds of harmful synthetic chemicals in their laundry, on their dishes, on their body. Those people are not environmentalists. I don't care what they say. Now, the longer you keep your sleep spot clean, the longer whoever owns or patrols that property is going to let you stay there. Right? The minute you start shitting on the place, you know, leaving trash around, they're going to kick you out, and rightfully so. So, and also you'll attract bugs if you don't keep it clean. I would find a unique spot to crash in outside and keep it clean as possible so no one even knows that you're there. And just sleep in the nighttime, wake up before the sun rises, and get the hell out of there and go start your day. Rule number four, get a storage unit and stick your things in it. You know, there's a big stigma for people that push a shopping cart around. In Long Beach, I wouldn't even talk to a houseless person pushing a shopping cart around because the police would ticket them and even incarcerate them. And I didn't want the police looking into me or searching my backpack or bugging me. So I saw it happen. You know, in Hawaii here, the police are a lot nicer and they let people do that. But you know, you don't want to carry all your belongings everywhere you go. Storage units are cheap. You can rent one for about $40 a month. You know, stick your stuff in there and go out and live your life. Find out what your new purpose is, your new calling is. Find yourself. I asked the mayor of Honolulu if he could help the homeless people get storage units there, because I know how valuable it is. And a lot of homeless people have them. Now, rule number five, eat the best food that you can buy. That's when I realized, okay, I need to eat organic food, USDA certified organic food. That's the best food that I can buy. And, you know, if you're poor and you need money, you can get EBT, food stamps, and they'll help you out with a food supplement. But there's, you know, if you're going to be breathing in carcinogens, automobile pollution, you know, rubber bits and pieces that are scattered all over the place, you know, you want to give yourself the best chance you can to live a long, healthy life. And the way to do that is to eat organic food. That's, you know, high in protein, has whole wheat, high fiber, and low sugar. Rule number six, get some exercise. Walk or ride a bike. Don't just stay in the same spot all day long. People don't respect people that do that, and you get lazy. I never did that. I never really understood people that did that. You know, if you have a family and you're houseless, you know, that's a little different story. You may want to look for a more permanent spot. But if you're a single person, you know, you have no excuse just for sitting around the same place all day. And there's pollution outside too. You know, it would be wise to find some places indoors to hang out and to spread your presence around a little bit. You know, visit one place for a couple hours and take off. Go visit another place for a couple hours and then another place. And then go outside and go to a park or somewhere, you know. So exercise is important to stay well and to not loiter and exasperate the people that you see all the time that you need bathrooms from and drinking water from and whatever. Rule number seven, earn some money. Now you can find jobs online. Home Depots have day workers in front early in the morning and people drive up and they hire them for the day. There's a lot of ways you can find income. Just find a source of income. Or start a job before you leave, like a web-based business. And then when you hit the street, hopefully you'll have some residual income that you can count on. Or ask your mom or your dad or a rich friend or family member if they can give you a small amount of money each week. I have not asked one person for a penny since I hit the street in 2012, and I'm not going to ask anybody for a penny. I don't want any handouts. I don't want any money. You know, if somebody offers to give me something, I will consider it. But, you know, and you got to be wise, too. I was offered two cars, and I didn't want them, and I turned them down. You know, I don't want to burn gasoline. I don't want to live in a car. But you got to consider, you know, if somebody, say like the government is offering you a $1,200 stimulus, I don't want it, I don't need it, but I'd kind of be a fool not to accept it. consider EBT food stamps or food banks if you need it. That's rule number 8. You know, you need to secure a good, safe food supply. If you can find food to eat, then you can live outside for free and you'll be fine. You know, these are the basics that you need. You know, everybody's got a home. It's called Earth. Go, you know, find what you need and enjoy it. You know, be content. There's plenty of food banks that will give people food across the country. You just got to find out where they are. Now, I actually found a food bank. I never took advantage of food banks except for one time. And I figured, you know, other people need it worse than I do. And normally the food's not organic. But the one time that I did, check it out, I don't think they had organic food. But the one in Honolulu had some organic bread or something. It's pretty rare that they'll have something that I will eat anyways. But, you know, be wise to eat organic food. But if it's impossible because you just don't have the money or the access, then just buy the best food that you can or locate it. Rule number 9, avoid churches. Avoid begging, avoid asking people for anything. You know, you want to be independent and self-sufficient. You know, you were a slave before you hit the street. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you had money that you had to earn to pay for a rental unit, and you flushed it down the toilet, right? You didn't have any equity. You didn't buy a house. You just wasted your time for a roof over your head, for creature comforts. So you've got a chance to do it all over again. Do it right. You don't want to pollute the planet. You don't want to just make some idiot rich and waste many, many, many hours of your life every week. And you'll figure these things out slowly but surely. And there's always strings attached. You know, one time, a couple of my houseless friends in Long Beach wanted me to hang out with them, and they ended up going to this church for some food. And I went along with them, and it was horrible. I mean, they make all these houseless people sit and hear this long, dumb sermon and hear this music singing, and then they give them this plate of weird food and a plastic water bottle. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm never coming here again. So, you know, it's pretty distasteful when people turn to religion for stupid reasons. And I don't know if there are any good reasons, but going to a religious service or a church for food would be a very, very last resort in my book. You know, I was born and raised as a Christian. I got saved when I was 7, and then I deconverted about, I don't know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago roughly, or something like that. And I don't need that stuff. I don't need to be around those people. Those people are nothing like the actual Jesus of the Bible. They may be real generous, they may be very well-meaning, but they're destroying the planet, they're destroying their bodies, and they don't care about the actual Jesus in the Bible or the scriptures. I have a PhD in biblical studies, and I have no reason to lie to you. I've been screwed and hurt by all kinds of religious people and religious institutions. Now, rule number 10 is have fun. Be content. Be yourself. Do things that make you happy. Write and smile and laugh. If you don't know how to laugh or find humor in your situation, go to YouTube and watch some comedians. Seth Meyers, every weeknight, you know, or at least 4 nights a week, he's got a monologue on there. and makes me laugh. And so do the other comedians, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, Trevor Noah, all these people. You know, you could find old comedy bits of Carlin and Eddie Murphy and whoever, you know. Take some time and laugh. I laugh every day, and I laugh quite a bit, and it's therapeutic. Find clean places to hang out. Inside, outside, cafes and libraries are good. Don't pollute the place. Don't smoke cigarettes or litter. You know, when I visited San Francisco in 2012, and I was considering moving there, there was the Occupy Wall Street movement downtown, and they were smoking machine-rolled cigarettes. And I thought, wow, what hypocritical idiots. And, you know, nothing makes me angrier than some moron smoking cigarette smoke on me. You don't know how many people I've confronted. And people just don't get it. You know, there's a law in Hawaii where you can't smoke cigarettes within like 20 feet of a building's entrance. But there's a lot of wind in Hawaii. What, the lawmakers haven't heard of wind before? Now, and these people are inconsiderate if they're smoking cigarettes outside around buildings and it blows all over. So, you know, and these cigarette smokers are the hard and mean idiot ones that will fight you. And so you got to be ready to fight at a moment's notice if you really want to defend the planet and your own health. And that's just, you got to get that through your head. Don't give in. Don't become like these idiots. You know, not to mention cigarettes are expensive and they cause disease. My aunt Dot died from cigarettes in her 80s, early 80s in North Carolina. And I hate cigarettes. My dad smokes cigarettes and is taking days, weeks, months, years off of his life. Now, recycle if you can. Some people make it like a part-time job. And I have respect for those people, and I tell them thank you. You know, they even look through the garbage, and they pull out cans and bottles and stuff, and they take it to the recycler, and they recycle it. It's very smart, very cool. I use a refillable Brita water bottle that has a filter in it. You know, I think it's around $10 or so at Walmart, and the filter replacements are pretty cheap. I can buy them online on Amazon, too. And I just keep refilling it. Here's one right here. It's great, you know. And in Starbucks, they have triple filtered water. So if you want really good water, go there. And I smell the water before I get it if it's at a source that I'm not familiar with. Because if it smells like metal, I'm not going to drink it. And if it tastes like plastic, I'm not going to drink it. Don't poop outside. You know, that's disgusting. Find a bathroom. Find a few bathrooms. Find lots of bathrooms. You know, spread your presence around. Know which bathrooms are open 24 hours. Know which ones aren't. Know which ones are dark and have bugs in them, and know which ones don't. You know, I remember peeing in the dark some places and just dancing around because there's bugs trying to get me as I'm going to the bathroom. You know, but there are places where you can go that where there's light and it's safe and it's clean. You know, and also I peed into a bucket before. Like at night, if you have a sleep spot and there's not a good place to pee, just get a bucket and bring it with you and just pee in there. And then go dump it in the bushes when you wake up. But you don't want to overburden one place. And you don't want to poop outside because it stinks. And when the rain pours, it spreads bacteria all over the place. And people hate that, and they will hate you, and they will kick you out. Don't steal. Even if somebody steals your stuff, don't steal. And people have stolen my things. You know, theft is horrible, especially stealing from houseless people. You have no soul if you steal from a houseless person. And I don't care if you are houseless. The same rules apply. You don't want to perpetuate the problem. Make a police report if you want, if you get your things stolen. I made police reports when my bag was stolen and when my bike was stolen in Hawaii, and they never found them. But I didn't have to pay the library for a library book that was in my bag when it was stolen. That's why I reported that. It was pretty much the only thing in my bag. It was like an empty sleep bag, and I was sleeping when it happened. And then the bike, I didn't care about that much anyway because it was my old bike when I had bought a new bike. And I locked it up outside the storage unit for a few days. And I was thinking about selling it. And it got stripped while it was out there. So, you know, beware. People will steal stuff if you leave it out. Somebody stole my sleep bag in Long Beach. I mentioned this in one video. When I used to sleep in front of the library there on the concrete, I used to throw my sleep bag over the top of the library roof fence. And I thought it was pretty secluded, but one night when I reached for it, it was gone. So, you know, I had some cash on me and I just walked over to the Walmart. It was either open late or 24 hours, I don't remember. But, and I bought a new sleeping bag and went and crashed out. So it's always good to have a backup plan. Always good to have a little cash on hand, but don't act like you got a lot of money on you or you might get robbed. And, you know, you can stick your stuff in your storage unit and before it closes at night, at 10 o'clock or whenever, go get it and then go to sleep. And then wake up at 6 o'clock when it opens and go get on with your life. And don't get drunk all the time, you know. Don't get drunk at all if you can help it. A little organic wine is good for you. But, you know, if you drink too much, you probably won't have money for food or anything else. And somebody can beat you up or steal your things. You know, I know it's not easy. I know some people want to drink the pain away, but it's hard to moderate. But, you know, just having a drink or two is okay, and it can be beneficial. But drinking a whole lot is dumb. Now, here's two more stories that I recall. Now, I've never sold drugs before on the street. You know, I've even bought some bags of weed, but I've never sold it. And I even would tell the people I would get it from. And some people gave it away to me, too, which was real nice. Like in the Big Island, in Maui in particular, I remember people gave me some weed. But yeah, it's not real wise to sell weed or do drugs. I don't consider weed a drug. I consider it an herbal supplement. It's a plant. It's good for you. But one day, I was riding my bike down Queen in Honolulu, and then I saw a little bag on the ground, a tiny bag, about this big, and there was some white powder in it. And I didn't know what it was, and I've never done crystal meth. I've only tried coke and crack a couple of times, and it's because I knew the guy who was cooking it up, and we're friends. And I knew I was leaving, too, the state pretty soon, and I wouldn't get hooked. Crack is not a drug that you should try or get into unless you got a lot of willpower, and then you should never get into it. It's bad. There's something chemical in that makes you like want it real bad. And it was bizarre. I tried it in Virginia, and just as soon as we're done, I'm like, let's get more. And then I stopped myself. I'm like, whoa. It was like almost an out-of-body experience where I had to put on the brakes. And I can see where crackheads, you know, get into it and can't stop or give it up. And I think that was the only time I tried it. And I would never buy crack off the street because they could cut it with anything. Rat poison, you know, who knows what they can cut it up with. Some kind of pills. And you could kill yourself. You could die. And coke is real expensive and it could damage your nose and things, and I'd be real careful with that one as well. I've just tried it to see what it was like. I think it would be a lot smarter to get the plant. I believe plants should be legal. And if plants were legal, then people wouldn't mess around with the potentially deadly, dangerous, processed forms of these drugs nearly as much. You know, we're adults. Adults should have access to plants, to medicinal, therapeutic plants that have been used for centuries. The ancient Incas and people, I think they used to chew it. And they used to chew the leaves of the coca plant, and they would get a buzz from it. Why can't people do that? I'll tell you why. It's because pharmaceutical drug companies and lobbies and the government is dishonest and in bed with them. And they'd rather lock up all the plants and sell you drugs that have harmful side effects. I don't believe in that. That's wrong. Now, to make a long story longer, I found this little bag of white powder. I had no idea what it was, and I just stuck it in my bag and continued my journey. And then there's only been a couple times when I actually didn't have enough money to eat and had to go without food without it being my choice. I've done a lot of fasting, and I like to do fasting. I'm fasting right now. This is the third day of a 28-day fast, so and I feel great. You know, it's about 10% over, and it's awesome. I'm excited about it. You know, and I have the money to buy food, no problem, but I don't want food. I want to fast. So, but this time when I was in Honolulu, it's a different feeling when you can't buy food because you don't have the money. It's a bad feeling. You feel kind of helpless and weak and rejected and alone. I didn't like it, you know. And so I met a couple houseless guys over by a cafe. I ran into them and I wanted to buy some food to eat because I didn't have any or any money. And I figured, I don't know what this white powder is, but I'll offer it to these guys, see if they want to buy it for like $5. And they bought it. And I told them, I said, I don't know what this is. You know, be careful. You know, it could have been sugar. It could have been whatever. And so I found it on the ground and I told them that. And I hope they're okay. I hope it wasn't anything horrible or illegal. But they gave me $5 and I took the money to Walmart, a 24-hour one down the street, and bought a bag of organic granola cereal for like, I don't know, $3.28 or something. And I think there's at least 1,000 calories in there. I think there was more like 1,600 or 1,800 calories. So it was a great bargain, and it filled my stomach, and I felt better. And I'll never know what that stuff was. When I lived in Long Beach, I visited a cemetery sometimes, and there was clean air there. I liked it. It was real peaceful and nice. It was cool. So find somewhere you can relax and think, somewhere with fresh air. Don't be in a hurry to return to your former life of burning gasoline, burning coal, eating junk food, rubbing weird chemicals on your body. You know, just jumping back on the merry-go-round in the rat race. You know, too many people jump into a horrible situation or a bad relationship because they want something. They want creature comforts. They want shelter. They want sex. They want whatever. You know, it's try to stay within yourself. You know, be centered. Seek balance. Those things are more valuable than stuff, you know, and you'll find that out. You don't want just another prison, you know, you want peace, you want liberty, you want freedom, you want success on your own terms, contentment. You should start to realize how you need less than you realize and what your basic needs actually are. I fasted quite a bit on the street, and it's a great way to break away. Improve your health, lose fat, and save money. So try fasting, you know. Start off slow, maybe just one meal or two meals or one day. You know, you don't got to do it for 40 days or anything, at least not at first. It's totally up to you. You know, tailor the fast around your lifestyle, your needs, your desires. You know, make time on your side. You know, that's how I look at it. Nobody can stop the passage of time, right? I'm fasting right now. If I worry about the time, or if I think about food too much or have it right in front of my face, it's going to be real hard. But I look at time as on my side. You know, it's only a matter of time before this is over. It's only a matter of time before I go to sleep and wake up, and then I'm just, you know, that many hours closer to my goal. Don't freak out. I have fasted for 40 days before without any food. And you can see that on my website. So it's possible. You can skip a meal. You won't die. The more options you have, the better. You know, pick a few sleep spots. Be able to sleep in them because people might take it. Or if it rains, you know, you'll need a covered sleep spot. Know where you're going to sleep in the rain. Might want to check the weather report, too. If you type in the zip code and the word weather in a search engine, it usually puts out the forecast for wherever you are. And find a sleep spot that's out of the wind, too. The wind will end up dehydrating you and could keep you awake and blow dirt and filth on you. Think about what's truly important in life and to you. When you become houseless, you let a lot of things go, and you might realize that you never needed them to begin with. Value what is important, and don't worry about what you don't have, and what you don't need, and what you left behind. Life is always changing. There are different seasons and different chapters in life. Just because you're houseless doesn't mean that you'll always be houseless. If you ride a bike, be careful. Cars don't always see bicyclists. In fact, I knew an African-American guy in Hawaii that said cars were aiming for him and trying to hit him. So you got to be a defensive rider, especially in busy cities and busy towns, because you could get hit. I was hit 7 times in Honolulu when I lived there. And I was hit once in Maui on my bike. So, I mean, the cars don't look out for people, and people are on cell phones, and they drive too fast and break the speed limit constantly. So you got to look out. Lock everything up. Don't trust people. Don't trust anybody. And people lie. So, you know, I wouldn't trust somebody watching your stuff. You know, just take it into your own hands. Be responsible for your own stuff. Try to avoid getting injured or cut. Cuts and wounds heal slower when you get them dirty every day outside. You don't want open wounds if you can help it. And I don't even like Band-Aids anymore. I stopped using Band-Aids about 8 years ago because I think it's stupid to have glue right next to open wounds. You know, it's just not smart. It is better to have fresh air and sunshine and let it heal that way. But it's not good to have pollution in them, so you know, try to keep them clean, stay indoors. I used alcohol wipes quite a bit, and I still like alcohol wipes. They're excellent. You know, you can buy 100 of them at Walmart for about $1. You know, and it's one chemical, alcohol. I don't like soap. I don't use any soaps besides this organic Dr. Bronner's soap, and because. Soaps that you use in public and find around town can alter your hormones, and they're not good for you. So I don't use them, and I prefer alcohol. Some houseless people have very dry skin, especially on their feet. You can fix this with some olive oil. I use organic extra virgin olive oil on my skin, and it's great. I've even offered it to some houseless people, and they've liked it. You know, I even put it in a glass spray bottle like this, and I spray it and put it on my body, all over the place. Like when I get out of the shower, I don't use lotions. I don't want those chemicals on my body. Lotions are horrible for you. I said the other day, you know, if you get penile cancer, and you've been rubbing weird lotions into your penis, you probably shouldn't be surprised, you know. People have used olive oil for centuries. It's fantastic. It has a lot of healing properties. The lotions that people rub on themselves and the soaps that people rub on themselves cause health problems. Now, the health problems that they cause, some of them occur very slowly, like degenerative diseases. They slowly break down your tissues and organs. And by the time you're having serious health problems, you don't know where they came from, and it's hard to point the finger at them because you probably acquired lots of other health problems from the other things that you've done. But I've done my research, and I know that those things aren't good. Share if you want to. You'll probably get more of whatever it is you have. It almost works like clockwork to me. When I fast, I seem to get amazing things. When I give things away, I seem to get them back. When something gets stolen, I seem to get something better. It's phenomenal. It defies logic. Shower every day and wash your clothes at the laundromat or somewhere. I think you can find a shower somewhere. I showered in my gym most of the time, but I also used a camp shower a couple times, and I used a beach park shower a few times. Now, where there is a will, there is a way. You don't want to repulse people with your smell, and you don't want to get sick from being filthy. And that's what happens. You know, if you have to, take a sink shower. I've taken a couple sink showers. I think I took one in Texas and one in Key West. Maybe two in Key West. And I was riding a Greyhound bus from San Diego to Memphis, and it stopped in Texas, and I was meeting a girl, and I didn't want to be all stinky, and so I took a quick sink shower there. I think that was my first sink shower ever. And so it's doable. It's possible. But just try not to leave a trace. You know, don't make a big mess. If you do a sink shower, try not to do it in a business. Try to do it, you know, at a beach bathroom or a public restroom facility, which there should be more of them. They should really build more of them and put them in places where houseless people can get them, or have trailers for houseless people with showers and places to clean up. I asked the lawmakers when I was in Maui to have something for the houseless people, because I remember smelling like poop outside. And Maui, there's like no nightlife, and so that means they close up the restrooms, and there's a lot of homeless people, houseless people, and so they got nowhere to go. You know, not all of them have a bag that they can poop into, and toilet paper that they can wipe their butt with, and then a trash can they can stick it in. It's impractical, or they forget, you know. Now just stay up, and I wish you well. Now, I'm going to record about 6 more videos here that are going to be unrelated to this 10-video series. I'm going to record videos on fasting, privacy, marijuana, abortion, unbelief, and COVID-19. I'm probably going to continue doing it the same way I have been, which is like every other day I'm going to record a video. I might switch it up though, and do them a little more often or a little more erratically. But I intend on having all of these recorded by the end of May and having them online, broadcasting on Periscope. Hello. Uploading them to YouTube and putting the audio on my website. Now, one more thing. The word home is mistranslated in the Bible. Did you know that? It should actually be house in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Think about that for a second. In Bible times, people enjoyed living outside and spent the majority of their time there. They apparently didn't have the concept of a house being a home, and it has been mistranslated in most English Bibles. If you don't believe me, look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And speaking of the Bible, Jesus was houseless, and he did all right. How many people in the Bible had no house to live in? You know, I don't think people living indoors ever actually understand the Bible until they live outside. You could say FUBU, for us, by us. It is kind of ironic, you know, that 250 million Christians in the U.S. claim to follow Jesus, and Jesus was a first century houseless man that ate organic food and didn't care about money. And if they would actually follow Jesus' example and live the way Jesus lived, you know, the person they say they love and follow and emulate, they would solve climate change instead of polluting the planet like there's no tomorrow. The government and businesses would probably suddenly be ready and willing and able to sell everybody houses and vehicles and food that didn't pollute and cause disease and destruction if people would all get off of the merry-go-round and refuse a low standard. If the earth is your footstool, too, enjoy it and stay safe. Keep it clean and good luck. It shoots.